This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to apparently talk with Stephen Jones imminently. In the meantime, I wanted to throw this out there. Caitlin Clark signed her deal with Nike. 8 years, $28 million.
But she only makes $300,000 for her whole contract.
She's going to make a hell of a lot more from Nike than she is the WNBA.
Serious question.
Base contract.
Is she the first woman basketball player to get maybe a signature shoe?
No, there's been signature shoes. There just haven't been a lot of them, especially not this quickly into your professional career. Okay. This is definitely like a new thing where immediately they're going into that signature space with her.
Cool.
Now, right now, we're going to do a little C block before Stephen Jones comes around.
All right, Kevin, just trying to figure out exactly which one I want to roll with first because
the best one.
All right, then.
Oh.
Does Mitch Garver deserve a standing ovation?
Yes.
Yeah, he's part of the World Series team.
He's not as maybe as important. I almost compared him to Tyson Chandler. Tyson Chandler
Mariner.
Was more important to the 2011 Mavs than Mitch Garver was to last year's Rangers, but they both played important roles. Tyson Chandler had a bigger role on the Mavs, but he played a big role.
Yeah, he's a Mariner now, though, and I don't know how I feel about cheering and clapping for a Mariner.
You don't have to cheer for him as the game goes along, just before.
So if he gets up and he goes to the plate, cheer loud enough to get a tip of the cap.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Right now, we bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Now, I heard Jerry say that there would be opportunity to trade down, as there usually are in drafts if you want it. But I was curious, with the first 3-round picks and then not another pick until 174, do you feel the need to try and pick up another top 100, top 125 pick?
Well, I would tell you normally, which we always have looked at that, you know, in that area, we've always looked maybe at a quarterback. It doesn't usually the case. That's why we went ahead and pulled the trigger on our 4th rounder with Trey Lance. And so that really, you know, helps us out there. But, you know, just in order to have a 4th round pick, no, we wouldn't just move down for that. I think Jerry was pretty clear in there. If it's a player that we think's the player, then we're going to pick it. If there's an opportunity to trade down and we think either there's not the player or there's, you know, 3 or 4 guys that we think may still be there, you know, if we trade down and pick up another three or four, then certainly we'll entertain it.
Stephen, if you were to build the perfect running back for this this offense, what would that perfect running back look like?
Barry Sanders works. Emmitt Smith works. Earl Campbell could work.
All right. Okay.
In all seriousness, you know, obviously you like a back who's got versatility, a back who's not only, you know, can run the ball between the tackles, he can run the stretch play outside, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And oh, by the way, he'll, you know, step up there and hit a linebacker right in the mouth, pass blocking. I mean, those are the qualities you look for. Very rarely does a back, you know, have all those qualities. But certainly, you know, Mike's always looking for versatility, and that's why most of the time now you look around the league now, and there's a lot of teams that do this by committee because, you know, it takes a couple of backs to, you know, to hit all those points in terms of where you want strength in your running game as well as your passing game.
And what is the philosophy of the Cowboys on taking players with injury history or concerns versus players without injury history? Because y'all do seem to sometimes go, you know what, we're willing to take a risk at this round or with this type of player.
Yeah, I think it all depends on the injury. You know, at the end of the day, you've got to get your hands around. You know, we got our hands around 1 year with Jalen Smith that we knew we weren't going to have him for a year. And that's the hardest one to make. There's other ones that you make the decision that, hey, he might not be 100%, you know, the first quarter of the season, but he'll be heading in that direction. And, you know, by, you know, halfway through the season, you'll have him full board. Then you certainly handicap that in a different way than you do the one I just talked about with the Jalen Smith. There's also the ones that have injuries that, you know, could ultimately affect career longevity. So each one of them, you know, to really be fair, is different. And then it's compared to what? What are you going to pass up in order to go with a player that maybe or that has an injury that might limit him in the training camp and maybe even the first part of the season versus, you know, one that's going to take a lot longer? All those things go into play when you ultimately make that decision.
One of the things that came up in the press conference is Jerry talked about, it was about Dak, but it's probably about a lot of players. Sometimes you just have to wait for a little bit more action. Is that more action in terms of hearing from Dak's agent? Is that in terms of watching how the market shakes out? Could you give us a little clarification on that?
Yeah, I think it's all the above. I mean, there's a, you know, let's go, you know, Dak seems to always be at the center of attention. I understand why. He's one of the quarterback of the Cowboys and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But like a CeeDee Lamb, there's a certain wide receiver market out there right now. And then you always have situations where you have unique players that are coming up that are wanting to, you know, maybe move that market. And certainly, you know, when you look around the league and you see a Jefferson, you see a Chase, Jamar Chase, you see obviously CeeDee, those things make it hard. And, of course, I'm sure those guys have conversations with one another as well as their agents have with one another. And, you know, I'm sure they're, you know, have their thoughts there. So a lot of times they can just be difficult. Certainly, you know, Micah, you know, he's still he's got his tender this year. Then he's got, you know, certainly, you know, those guys probably aren't going away from us anytime soon. And so, you know, you just don't want to really step out there. We don't. In our case, if we saw the right deal, we'd hit it and we'd make a deal. But, you know, I think that wanting to see, as Jerry said, some cards played, I think probably works on both sides. And that's why you have to be patient on these things.
And then last thing I got for you, since you are so in tune with the salary cap, I'm hoping for clarification so we can understand this better. I can understand this better. Because of the void years and how that works, if Dak Prescott were to play out his contract, move on, is there still like a $40 million cap hit that comes along with him after he's gone? And does that add pressure to keep him here?
No, I don't think it adds pressure. I mean, the pressure to keep Dak here is Dak's a supreme leader. He's outstanding. He's, you know, I think he's second in MVP this year. We've won 12 football games 3 years in a row. I mean, obviously the elephant in the room, whether it's Jerry and myself, whether it's Mike McCarthy, whether it's Dak, whether it's CD, Micah, is we've got to have success in the playoffs. So, you know, to me, you know, that's the only thing there in terms of, you know, in terms of what we're working through with Dak and what we can put around him.
And is that accurate on because of the void years that there'll still be a hit if for some reason he were to leave?
Yes. I mean, there is that. I would say that's an accurate number, but I don't think it puts pressure on you because obviously most of the time you're going into a situation where you are going to have a quarterback that costs quite a bit less. If that were to happen, certainly our thoughts aren't focused on that. They're focused on, you know, what type of situation works for us and for Dak in terms of a contract extension for him.
Well, Steven, just know that every time you talk to Kevin, he's still trying to apply for that job to be your cap guy. So don't ever forget he always wants to do that for you, all right?
I'll keep you guys in mind for sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
All right, catch up with you again Friday.
Being on with you. There you go. Steven Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. And that's a key thing right there. And I promise.
That was a really good question.
I promise I understood his answer, but I just wanted to clarify that with the void years. And Steven did say that number is about accurate, $40.4 million, give or take, that if Dak left, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if he did, that number still comes due.
Okay, what do you think is more valuable, that number or success in the playoffs?
I say it's success in the playoffs.
He said it. He said, hey, yes, that's real. That's real. But success in the playoffs ultimately is what we, you know, we're basing a lot of these decisions on.
I hear you. I don't think so.
It's too big of a pill to swallow.
I don't think so. Just because this Cowboys team doesn't want to seem to rebuild. If you were cool with rebuilding, then you could eat that number no problem. Because you're like, all right, well, we have $40 million less in cap. That'll probably help facilitate a better draft pick and blah, blah, blah. That is not the Cowboys way. And I appreciate his answer. I guess I just don't feel that that's the actual perception. That's not my perception of this franchise. They will look at it and be like, we can't eat $40 million. Let's give them the five-year extension or whatever the number ends up being so we can smooth that number out across the extension. That's just my opinion.
And Jerry's whole, hey, the credit card company's coming to call at some point and you got to pay the credit card thing. Like that's not a signal that at some point we do have to just bite the bullet on this one. It's because they have never shown the propensity to do that.
I can't imagine what it's like to get questions as often as, let's just say, the Jones family or probably a lot of other like really high profile people. But one thing in that presser is I did kind of think there was a few times when Jerry explained things as if the people asking the questions, whether it was Jane, whether it was whoever else, didn't actually understand the workings of the salary cap. And I definitely think they do. I definitely think she does. I definitely think we do because he said, oh, we've been operating on the credit card system. And I was that's been that way forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he says he can see 2 to 3 years down the line better than just about anybody in terms of what the cap's going to be, that boggles my mind even more so why you wouldn't give CD the deal right now. Save some money right now. Why you wouldn't give Dak the deal right now. If you know more or less better than anybody else what the cap's going to be in 3 years, 2 years, feels like this negotiation would be pretty short. Sorry, that's not going to fit with what the cap's going to be or sounds good.
Well, how do you know what the cap's going to be if I'm the agent? That's what I'm doing. What? Hey, how do you know? Well, because I'm the one creating it, dummy.
I mean, maybe so. I didn't love a lot of the things that got said in there. And the very first thing, we talked about it. I'm not trying to piss people off, but the very first thing that Jerry said was, we're proud of our roster and the promise of this team. And I know they talked about young players that will step up. But like when Josh Ball's name continues to come up as a young player who can't even sniff the field at a position where you have need, I get concerned about that.
Yeah, but he's part of the three Bs, the big baller brand.
Then he's destined to succeed. I don't know if that is the case.
Isn't that the fourth?
I don't know about any potential relations
LaMelo,
there.
Lonzo.
But
the other one.
I get it. I get it. You have to sell.
Kevin, this is the C block still. So let me get to another thing I wanted to get to real quick because I did have a question for you. Did you discuss the heart monitors for parents during the Olympics this year?
Oh, no.
Okay, because we know that Snoop Dogg and Kelly Clarkson and Jimmy Fallon are going to be involved some way. But this year, NBC's revealed that it plans to place heart rate monitors on parents of the athletes that are competing in the 2024 Olympics in Paris, as Reggie makes me say. With the live results of their heart rates being shown on the screen. So you get to see what whoever's running the 100 meters or whoever's swimming, you can see their parents' heart rate monitors going insane.
Okay, Or you're going to see
post-celebrations
how some of these athletes win so many medals because they got the ice water in their veins from their parents. Like, I would love to see one of these swimming events and like Katie Ledecky or whoever's parents is like, 80 miles per hour. Like, maybe it's a little tiny bit.
Heartbeats per minute. Hour.
And they're like, that person calm as hell. Their kid is going for the Olympic medal. And they're like, they got it.
Yeah, they got this. And you're like, oh, my gosh. Or like one of those archers. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I'd be so nervous right now trying to shoot at this little thimble.
I would be nervous as hell. But I kind of think some of those athlete parents are going to be like, ah, I got it.
Have you never seen the videos of the archers that, like, shoot things through CD holes and stuff like that? It's awesome. They're amazing.
You've been spending a lot of time on TikTok, haven't you?
TikTok's, I love it.
What is your question, Mike?
You said somebody's shooting something through CD's hole?
All right. Okay, we can't. Don't. Please.
Mike.
Please.
Flame throwing.
I know we're dealing with streaming now, but there used to be this thing called CDs, all right? And they has a little hole in it, all right? About yay size, and people shoot arrows through. They'll throw the CDs in the air and be like, whoink, right through there. I'm like, what?
What did that sound like again?
Whoink.
Okay, thank you.
And that's the C block.
That's a good block, man.
We're the KNC masterpiece. Right here on 105.3 of the Fan. Coming up next.
Now we're talking.
Jacksonville Jaguars co-owner.
Get your Jags on.
The man who runs AEW and can maybe convince Mike to ask a question. It's Tony Khan right here on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 of the Fan. Right now, we bring to you Jacksonville Jaguars co-owner and the man who runs AEW. It's Tony Khan. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I know there's a lot of wrestling stuff that I want to ask you about. I want to get a couple of football questions in. Can you tell us how your draft board looks and who you hope to take at 17 in the draft on Thursday?
I cannot tell you that, but I'm very excited for this week. It's going to be one of the craziest weeks I've ever had, and I'm very fired up. We've got AEW Dynamite coming up, 7 p.m. Central Time there, 8 p.m. Eastern, of course, here in Jacksonville, Florida. But 7 o'clock tomorrow on TBS, you'll all be able to see a great night of pro wrestling, and it's the start of a very busy week for us in Jacksonville. We've got AEW on Wednesday and Saturday night, and then this big week with the Jacksonville Jaguars draft.
Tony Khan joining us for future Super Bowl champion of the NFL.
Wow.
With the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And he loves my Trevor, guy, Trevor Lawrence, Tony.
I'm a big Trevor Lawrence guy, Tony, but just help me out. I know there's a lot of things upcoming in the draft, but, oh, December hurt me so much. You guys had set yourself up so well beating the Houston Texans. Do you feel like what was the issue, and do you feel like it can get solved in 2024?
I absolutely think the Jaguars are going to have a great season in 2024. We got off to a really strong start in 2023 and didn't finish it. And I think combination of things, injuries and some changes we've made in the organization, things that we can address next year. I really believe in 2024, it's going to be a great year for the Jaguars and the Jags fans. We're all really fired up. I think it's going to be a great draft, and we've been doing some really exciting things in free agency this year too for the Jaguars.
Now, my last kind of Jacksonville Jaguar question is, because we are here in Dallas, we hear a lot about the Houston Texans. We're not far away, and obviously CJ Stroud kind of took that division by storm as the season progressed. How concerned do you get about a quarterback in your division who's a rookie who looked that good that quick?
Yeah, he did some great things, really, really impressive as a rookie quarterback, and just in general, really impressive last season. I was very impressed. And I think it's going to make the division more competitive. We've been in the AFC South a long time, and definitely it feels like there's some really strong competition right now, some teams getting a lot better, and everybody's going to be feeling good, I think, about where their team's at coming out of this draft, because it's a deep draft, and it's an opportunity for all the teams in the division to get better.
You still prefer Trevor Lawrence over CJ Stroud, right?
I would take Trevor Lawrence against anybody. I love Trevor. I think he's the absolute man and the right quarterback for the Jaguars. We really believe in Trevor Lawrence here, and we're all behind him.
Tony and I are on the same page.
Okay. All right. Thanks for clarifying that, Mike and Tony. Now, you use the word impressive. I wish I had better superlatives, or maybe we should just make up a new superlative to talk about the Bryan Danielson, Will Ospreay match from Dynasty, because I feel like I'm selling it short by talking about how amazing it was. So if you want to make up a word to talk about how great you thought it was, I think that would be fine.
You're right. I mean, there aren't a lot of adjectives that would live up to describing how incredible this was, but it was fantastic. It was amazing. AEW Dynasty this past weekend, it was a great pay-per-view event. If you haven't seen it yet, you can find it on demand, streaming, or on cable. It's a great, great show. And it's one of my favorite wrestling pay-per-views ever. And at AEW Dynasty, we saw a lot of great things, including Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay, one of the best wrestling matches I've seen. And we're all better off for having seen that match. It was awesome. And it's what AEW is all about, trying to put on the best matches every week. I mean, we put on great matches every Wednesday on TBS, just like tomorrow night, Saturdays on TNT. And this pay-per-view, I think we set a new standard for AEW. It was one of our best shows ever and some of the best matches I've ever seen in my entire life.
We frequently get texts that just say, "Whose house?" How awesome was it to see Swerve win the world title?
Well, it was fantastic. St. Louis was Swerve's house. The Chaffetz Arena was Swerve's house. And really, the entire wrestling world is Swerve's house. I think everybody really rallied behind him. It was a great pay-per-view, like we said, at AEW Dynasty. And we crowned a new world champion, Swerve Strickland. And he'll be at AEW Dynamite tomorrow night. We got a lot of exciting things coming up tomorrow night on TBS, 7 o'clock there in Dallas, and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. Really, really excited about our new world champion, Swerve Strickland, and a lot of great things happening in AEW wrestling right now.
I know you got the next pay-per-view, Memorial Day weekend, Double or Nothing in Vegas, and the All In London. I'm kind of curious, what's that acceptance? What's that love that crowd like in London overseas?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I've spent so much of my life over there now working in English football in the Premier League with Fulham Football Club, and we're having a great season there. And the last few years have been really, really great for Fulham, getting back to the Premier League and establishing ourselves. And they were recently in Dallas, the Fulham Football Club, with our young players there for the Dallas Cup. And I've really loved the London fans, and being able to bring the biggest wrestling event we've ever had to London, it was amazing. And the fans were a huge part of it. And the wrestlers, the fans, the city of London, everybody came together for a perfect night for AEW All In. I can't wait to go back to Wembley Stadium in August. It's going to be a great pay-per-view event. And, you know, we sold 81,035 tickets, over 81,000 tickets for this show last year. And we're off to a great start selling tickets for this year's show. And it's crazy because the show is still over 4 months away. And we have just a great crowd already. And we're going to keep selling tickets to that show. And I expect it's going to live up to last year's great event. The fans in London are rabid for wrestling, just like the fans there in Dallas and around Texas are some of the best wrestling fans in the world.
You know, because of y'all's interests in England and because the Jags would play over there, I always thought that potentially the Jags could move to London. Can you just shut down that dream right now?
Yes, I don't think that's necessarily feasible. I think we have a great situation here in Jacksonville, and we've been doing a lot of things, redeveloping the stadium. You know, we've redeveloped our practice facility. We built, really, I believe, one of the nicest office and practice facilities in all of sports. And the Jaguars went from having probably some of the least nice offices in the NFL to the nicest. We have a great facility now, and we put a lot of resources into this city, this community, and we love it here in Jacksonville. And I think we have a really good thing with the Jaguars going, playing in London every year. It's become a great tradition now, going back over 10 years. And we want to keep doing that, but also keep the great football here in Jacksonville with the Jaguars.
Now, Well, you've been on our show many, many times. We all always appreciate it. I have to admit, I think you're great. I also listen to the 83 Weeks podcast, though. Why do you and Eric Bischoff just not seem to get along?
It's an interesting question. You know, I think there's a very there. First of all, there haven't been that many wrestling companies that have risen to international prominence that have, you know, there aren't that many wrestling companies in modern history that have sold, you know, tens of thousands of tickets to their events and sold hundreds of thousands of pay-per-views. And in that sense, Eric and I do have something in common, and I do respect his accomplishments. He's just got a show, this podcast, that's kind of largely devoted to taking shots at us. And a lot of it isn't really rational, logical, truthful. You know, I don't think those things seem to matter to him anymore. But I do respect what he accomplished with WCW. It was a great company. And I think in that sense, I do respect him. I'm really very, very excited about what we have coming up this week for AEW. And, you know, it's been a great run for us on TBS and TNT. And we're on TBS, like I said, tomorrow night. We're on TNT Saturday. And I think that's something I have in common with Eric. You know, there aren't a lot of people that have produced a lot of wrestling shows on TBS and TNT. So that's one thing we do have in common.
You guys always show plenty of love to Dallas, but with the expanded pay-per-view schedule, could we see a pay-per-view in Dallas soon for AEW?
I would really like that. I think that we could bring a great event to Dallas. It's something to keep an eye on. Maybe in 2025, I think would be great. We've set the calendar for this year. So 2025, next year, certainly Dallas is one of the top pay-per-view markets for AEW where we want to bring our events. I mean, you guys, obviously, just based on talking to you today, you saw AEW Dynasty in St.
Yes.
Louis this past week.
Yes.
I want to bring that kind of great wrestling to Dallas. You can see that kind of great wrestling every Wednesday, like tomorrow night on TBS, Saturdays on TNT, Fridays on TNT. You know, I love bringing it to TV, but there's nothing like seeing it live, especially the big pay-per-view shows. So you bet I can't wait to bring AEW's biggest events to Dallas, and I would love to do that next year.
Well, Tony, the first thing we're going to be partying in 2025 is us in New Orleans at the Super Bowl, right?
Well, that would be pretty cool. I would. Yeah. That, nothing wrong with that. I would love that.
But maybe Dallas Cowboys make it too.
How about that? That would be a lot of fun.
I need you to not laugh at that about the Cowboys making the Super Bowl.
They're all in this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey.
Well, Jaguars, Cowboys, we'd love to have that as a big game. That'd be a lot of fun for us. And I think we're going to have a great season either way, and really excited what's happening with the Jaguars, and also wishing all of you the best with what happens with the Cowboys this year.
Thank you very much, good sir. Dynamite.
Let's go, Jags!
Okay.
Dynamite tomorrow, TBS, 7 o'clock off of a huge Dynasty pay-per-view. We appreciate your time very much, good sir.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on, and hope to see you all in Dallas soon, and hope everybody can tune in tomorrow night for Wednesday Night Dynamite, 7 p.m. on TBS.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Khan right here on 105.3 The Fan, and Mike Bassick planning ahead for next year's Super Bowl.
Huh? You hear that, Kevin? Huh? You hear what he said? The big game.
I
did say the big game. I heard
hear
that,
too.
Oh, he said that? He can't say it? As an owner, you can't say that word?
No, you can't. It. Yes, you can.
You can't say it in general.
It's not a commercial. I got nervous, though, because we can turn our mics on and off, and Mike goes, yeah, hey, let me finish it off. I got something. I was like, my mind started racing that I had no idea where this was going to go.
I will be partying in New Orleans. And he goes, and the Cowboys could be there too, huh?
And then he laughed.
God. Hey, I did warn him, though, that the Cowboys are all in this year.
You did.
So now the Jags are at least, they're on notice.
They're alert.
That the Cowboys are all in.
I swear, I thought that was going to be your first question. Are the Jags all in this season?
They don't say silly things like that.
So there you go. Thank you very much to Tony Khan.
What a day.
I appreciate it, man. What a day indeed.
Two owners, one show.
Coming up next, We will talk with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Heggy, we are rolling.
Hopefully even better after our pre-crosstalk.
Very enjoyable.
There were some fun times there.
I love preying with you guys.
Thank you very, very much. What do you think about the fact that Jerry defiantly said that the Cowboys are the 24th best team in the NFL? Now,
I was questioning my own like IQ in that moment. Like maybe I'm the one that's wrong.
You're the problem.
Clearly, he just misspoke. We were joking about it off air. There was a wrestler who's challenging these two other guys, and he goes, "You're not half the man I am, and I'm not half as smart as you are." And you're like, "Wait a second, hold on. Did he just say?" And so when he said, "We're the 24th best team in the NFL," I thought, maybe, I don't know.
Well, why don't you start acting like it?
I don't know, man. They're off season. They seem to be shooting for that goal.
Yeah.
Any things of interest, revelations for you in that, or just you got to sell?
I think they're pointing the fingers at the agents a little bit here.
I did hear that as well.
I think they're a little upset that, you know, and I thought the guys and gals did a good job of asking questions, you know, probably don't get the answers that you deserve for your question. You know, I thought Jane's questions were very good. And to me, Steven, he's taking it a little bit personally that these agents aren't willing to deal with him like he probably wants to deal with. And, you know, I think Jerry took a little bit of offense that, hey, I'm here always working on these deals. And I think there's some truth to that. I do feel like, though, with when you look at Todd France and him switching agencies the last time Dak was doing this contract, I don't think he necessarily was in any kind of hurry to get that done. So I'm sure that it's kind of a two-way street in that regard. But this is the first time that I've heard Steven and Jerry both point fingers at the other side.
What are you going to do about it? I mean, you're getting whooped by these guys. You know, you are the sucker at the poker table. It's time to change your table image. And you do that by shocking the system, shocking the marketplace with, wow, they really meant what they said. So you got to pick some to be like, hey, we're not going to do what you want, and you're gone now. You know, and then I think you regain your credibility at the bargaining table, because ultimately players don't want to leave the Cowboys. So you take a couple of people like you have now, you know, whether that's a wide receiver holding out or a quarterback trying to extract MVP money from you is like the 12th best player at his position. And you say, okay, here's our guys we're going to let go. And there might be a temporary pill to swallow, but we're going to set a new standard moving forward that if you want to be with the Cowboys, cool. You got to play along with us a little bit. How did we get to this point where both Jones boys are just getting their asses whooped in negotiation, and they're not changing their strategy at all? I mean, this is like over a decade running. They've become the cavemen, okay? Because caving is what they do, Heggy.
Oh, I like that. And you're very right about that.
I think my favorite part was when asked about the lack of moves in this offseason was Steven Jones pointing to last offseason and alleging that they won last offseason, and it didn't help them this year in the playoffs after having maybe the worst draft we've seen them have in a long time, and then I guess making a trade, a couple of fifth-round picks for old corner and old wide receiver Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. They won the offseason last year.
And even I like those moves, but it was the same thing going up against the trade deadline. They were like, well, we already did our trade deadline stuff. And I was like, this just doesn't all happen in a vacuum. Like, you can still make another move. You can look at that and say, hey, we made two pretty savvy deals, but maybe we didn't complete the rest of the process.
Yeah, that's not winning the offseason because you made two nice deals.
I don't think they're interested in signing players other than their own. I think they've come to that realization right now that, you know, that's something that when they're signing their own, that also justifies their thought of we're one of the best drafting teams.
Kind of inflates it sometimes, don't you think?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I you know, but there is some, I know talking to general managers and stuff around the league, there is some envy with the Cowboys roster, the way that they've been able to put this thing together in some ways. But, yeah, I just think to me that Steven is not interested in paying for another player. I mean, he feels like that, you know what, I know my guys, I know what I'm paying for, and he doesn't want to go out. The deals that he made, the winning the offseason last year, he got the teams he was trading with to pay half the freight. Yeah. You know? I mean, he it worked out for him in that way. Yeah, you're winning because you're not having to pay all the freight. So yeah, it's I don't think he's interested at all in going out and spending any type of money, significant money, on somebody else's free agents.
Do you guys think, and I know it'll all play out, I would have thought the deal would have got done by now, but Steven did confirm to us that $40 million is about in the ballpark of what they would owe if Dak just walks.
Yeah.
Do you think with that in mind, with everything else you said, how much do you think it actually matters what he does this year in terms of a new contract? I hate asking that.
That's kind of the same question I asked about, like, what's more valuable, that $40 million or success in the playoffs?
Oh, they're totally comfortable eating the $40 million because they're going to play Trey Lance at $18 million.
Right.
That's where that's the trade-off right there. Okay. Instead of paying Dak, you know, the $50-60 million, they're going to pay Trey Lance substantially less, and then that way it evens out for him.
And that satisfies a portion of Cowboys fans.
It balances the books for him, yeah.
It satisfies that group of Cowboys fans that are just done and fed up with Dak.
Do something.
And next year's cap is messed up as well, you know, so there's no way around it. Either with Dak or without Dak, you're having another cap get-right year.
Humbling night last night for the Stars. A really tough beginning. Mm-hmm. What did y'all take from that? Because I still argue, I know they lost, I still argue that watching the game, I think Dallas is the better team. But I realize they're the less physical team, and they lost game one.
Yeah, the physicality jumps out, dude. I mean, 55 hits to 29, it's clear and obvious, and we knew that about this team. But the thing about Vegas is you have all these preconceived notions about what they are and who they've been throughout the season, and then it's like, well, this isn't the same team.
Agreed.
And you guys addressed some of the things that they've been able to do to circumvent some things, and Stone coming in making
good
an
for
immediate
them for
impact.
Knowing how to do that.
Yes, but defensively, like, Otter didn't have his best night for sure, but defensively, just giant errors across the board for the Stars. And they couldn't get back. They could after a start like that, and you were in the building, Mike, and I think that sucks the life out of a building when 26 seconds into it, you got stuff flying all over the place, self-inflicted.
Yeah, I've learned that with Logan Thompson a goal for Vegas, any shot's a good shot.
Right.
Okay, he looks so shaky playing, and the fact that he has defenders in front of him that are so good, it seemed like every Stars pass that went to the middle sometimes was contested. Every shot they took was hitting a shin pad, you know?
Yeah.
The Vegas Golden Knights will block a ton of shots. That's what they do. That's how they play. They've got big defensemen. They play that way. They play the physical style. They're willing to get in front of pucks, and they know they have to do it because their goalie, I think, is shaky. We saw it with the last goal that he gave up. Just the inability to be able to get the puck with the trapper there. I mean, that's right there, that's inexcusable. That could have cost them huge. It didn't. But, yeah, I think any shot on him is a good shot, and Dallas needs to find a way to see if they can get some shots through. But every one of those shots seemed like they were hitting some type of shin pad for the Knights.
Before we go, did I miss news on Kawhi Leonard today? Because the line went Mavericks 2.5 to L.A. 1.5.
I was wondering about the line myself. I just thought that it was that impressive. Well, he was. I know yesterday they announced him as questionable for the game.
They did the same thing in game one. Has Tim McMahon tweeted anything out?
He was at shoot around.
Oh, yeah. Kawhi was?
Yeah, he was on the court.
So I'm just assuming Vegas is now putting the line more towards Kawhi's playing tonight.
Yes. I mean, that has to be.
That's too big of a swing.
Yeah, it's
moved,
the only.
If it's moved 3 points in 4 hours.
There's no reason for that.
The insiders know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think Kawhi's playing.
I do too. And, you know, I was thinking I kind of want him to play to disrupt the formula that they had, you know, because the formula that they had in game one was magical. I think with Kawhi out there, it's a little bit more difficult, you know, to play that system where you're using Zubac in the paint as much as you are, you know, and who's the primary ball handler. All those things are going to shift. And even though he's a great player, I think the Mavs can benefit.
What is the next game Friday?
Yes.
Man, if they don't play him tonight and get a win and they rest him all the way till Friday.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Now you're in trouble big time. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I just reached out to somebody that might know.
Okay.
So we'll see if we can maybe get an answer here.
You'll hear some of that on G-Bag. Also, I'm just curious, short answer if possible. It's only one game more likely to still win their series, Stars or Mavs? Or both?
Oh, Stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go Mavs.
Stars.
Cowboys.
They're going to win nothing.
Incorrect answer. That was the only incorrect answer.
Rangers over Seattle.
Oh, I like it. Give Mitch Garver his love tonight, everybody.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. We'll have Andrew Kisner, catcher, Texas Rangers, on at 3:20.
And it sounds like some...
Hey, I just got a text back, and my guy said it sounds like it.
Sounds like he's playing?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
that's why it had to move.
There's
three.
Some potential breaking news for
this
you
son
there.
Son of a gun just moved quickly.
Looks like Kawhi is good to go for this evening for the Clippers.
I want to discuss how that changes the rotations and all that
That's
stuff.
Why you got to listen to G-Bag.
Overtime?
Nation. Overtime. Listen,
I gotta go, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation off that breaking news. We've been the Can't See Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say, let's go Dallas, Kevin.
Let's go Dallas. I have pooped myself.
Liar.
I'm not a liar.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.